Blog Talk Radio.
From the debut of Golden State versus Cleveland to the broken recalls, disappointments, and arguments, and broadcasting from a teeny tiny authentic early 20th century chili roasting shack. Good morning, Kelly here, 6:06. It is the 3rd of June, and a lot of stories out there, but including the shooting of a guard in Anthony. I'll get to that, but I think the story that I heard, I went on and listened to a couple of other talk show hosts talking about, which really kind of captured my imagination, was this story about Caitlyn, alias Bruce Jenner, coming out as such a big deal. Biggest selling Vanity Fair in history, and all these stories about him. And I had reported on this a while ago, maybe 6 months ago, on a story I'd found in the Wall Street Journal that they reprinted on the failure of sex changes to help people. But it's really extraordinary, and I wanted to just put out there, if you are one of these 70-75% of people who considers themselves a Christian, what's your opinion on sex changes? If you're not one of these group, I don't know, or don't even claim to know what the average Christian or person who claims to be a Christian, I would think that people who are very much in the Bible would be opposed to it, but I don't. Seems like there's a lot of things moving around, but anyway, it's an extraordinary story, and we'll get to that in just a minute. This is a story that I just picked up myself. This is from KFOX 14. Anthony, New Mexico man shot a security officer at the Human Services Building and then turned the gun on himself. All right, so we'll get if I can find anything else about that situation for you when we come back after some break or other, when I'm able to do a little more research, I'll get it to you. all right, so yesterday we had a very spirited debate with Bolt Rubel. And there was even some angry and even insulting commentary that was directed towards him. But the question was the recall and whether the recall was a good idea or not. All right. And I was thinking about what I said yesterday. I don't want to leave the impression that I was in favor of ballots being accepted. That was my take, and I don't find it persuasive from the little bit that I know, but I do know some of the recall people that they came up and used an alternative script and lied to people. I just don't find that persuasive. So if I thought that might have happened, I would probably be more sympathetic. But anyway, the judge has canceled the recall, and I was thinking last night, you know, if you had a situation like this with this recall going on, this local recall, I mean, you're almost basically saying you can't have a recall because anybody who goes out and does a recall, all you have to do is go find a couple of people who signed the recall who are willing to go back on their vote or their signature and get some people who are willing to say that they were lied to. And that would shut down any recall. To me, that's totally ridiculous. But anyway, I will try to gather some more information about the judge's actual ruling and try to see if I agree with the legal grounds of it. But in general, I think that a recall is just as valid as, the original vote. And, Walt Rubel's position was that a vote is democratic, but a recall is non-democratic, and I think that was the position of the other side, and I don't see it that way. But according to them, I guess I can understand where they're saying that basically, unless someone breaks the law or commits what you call malfeasance, then the person should not be removed from office. They have every right to finish their term. My position would be that these individuals serve at the pleasure of the people. You know, you used to say someone served at the pleasure of the king or queen, but these people serve at the pleasure of the people. If the people change their mind, why is it legal or acceptable to vote somebody in but not vote them out? I don't get that. And why would you have to wait for the only time that you could ever find somebody that is not worthy of being in office is the only thing that you can claim is that they've committed a crime. What if you just don't like the way they're leading? You feel like they're harming public discourse or they're harming the economy, whatever. They've got a theory that you don't agree with, and I think you could almost, if you wanted to, apply that to Obama. I don't know if he's committed crimes 5, 2, 3, 14, 50, but there's a lot of people out there that feel like his theory of the economy or of economics is mistaken. His theory of foreign policy is mistaken. Why would you have to wait 4 years if you, you know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever? I that's just my take on it, you know? So, all right. So anyway, this story about Caitlyn Jenner, I just, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. And who is this?
Yeah, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, thanks for calling in. Hope you're doing well. And what's your opinion? What are we going to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about the recall.
Okay, what's your position? What's your opinion?
Well, my opinion is that it's the ruling of the judge seems to me that she's saying that a recall is not the right of the people.
Really?
That's the ruling.
Why do you say that?
If I understood what she said correctly, she said there is a way to get people out of office, and it's called a vote. And it was against the recall, but if I understand correctly, that we have a right to recall, and a judge doesn't have a right to tell me we don't have a right to recall.
That's interesting. You're the first person who's mentioned that. Now, where did you get
that? I heard it on the radio. It was a justice snip, so I don't know if it was taken within a context or anything, but the snippet said, she said there's a right way to remove people from office, and that is during the time to that's added, I'm sorry. It's to vote them in and out of office, which the way it was presented, it was in the context of, therefore, a recall is not the way to do it.
All right, so do you think it's a political? Do you consider this a political decision?
I don't think I could. I don't know the judge well enough, but I do know that this particular ruling of hers, you know, if I were to take the diametric opposite of what she said, I would be saying you don't have a right to recall. I'm ruling that the only way that can remove somebody from office is during that one period of time where they let you vote. And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, like I say, I've got to kind of hold off to say I really would need to do some research on this. But I'm just wondering if the people who are on the side of the recall feel it was a political decision, but it seems like you're almost suggesting that she was disagreeing with the law itself.
Well, what she said is the only thing I can draw my conclusion from, and what she said was there is a way to remove people from office, and that is in voting. And it was said within the context of not a recall. And so I was shocked. When I heard that, if we voted somebody in office and they did completely opposite of what we've asked them to do, and then for a judge to say, well, the only way you can get them out is vote them out, and that's during the voting time. Wait a minute. That's not what the law says, if I understand the law correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm looking online to find a clip. I've been in front of Judge Rosner many times. She's a nice lady, and I don't, you know, you have to adapt yourself to the judges on the bench, but she's a very smart person and is a fair-minded person, but I would I would like to hear that. I'd like to hear the entire recording of the judgment, and so I could get a better feel. I wish that I had been there for the whole time, you know.
Right. I just got the clip, and the clip was within that context.
Do you know where the clip came from?
It was on 1450. It was let's see. I was driving down the road. It was during a news break. I believe it was 2 o'clock, and I believe.
Well, I might go and ask. We have a news, a young lady that does news.
It was within the news, and they played the clip of her saying, "There's a way to get people out of office, not a vote." And of course, the commentator is putting it within the context of not a recall. It failed. It was thrown out, or whatever they did, whatever ruling it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to do a little bit more research. I know that people feel very passionately about this. Now, in this city, we have about in the county 65-35 Democrat Republican. So I think that probably the popular opinion is going to go against the recallers. But I mean, I think that they made a pretty good run. I mean, it seems to me it would be kind of almost impossible within the context of that prove that people had actually misled, you know.
Right. Well, you know, there was, I feel like there was some misleading, and I feel like that there was some ethical issues involved, simply because of the way that they allowed people access and others did not allow them access. And I just, I really don't care if you've got Democrat after your name or Republican after your name. I just really care for this idea that you're going to give certain groups access because you agree with them, but you're not going to give certain groups access because you disagree with them. And I don't think that's the way you're supposed to hold an office, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, I mean, in here, one of the problems with this type of thing is that there, you know, a judge has a right to have a judicial philosophy now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so you're it goes without saying. So I'm going to have to do a little bit more research and hold off my opinion on whether I agree with the ruling. But I mean, I do think that there's a right to a recall. I mean, it's just a basic principle.
I believe it is. Recall has been around a long time.
And it's, you know, what I was thinking is, you know, when our forefathers from England impeached people, they took people out of office, and it seems like impeachment is almost considered beyond the pale now. You can't recall or take people out of office because it's almost as if the gods have spoken. They got elected. They've got every right to fulfill their duty. If they lied about policy was before they went into office and totally reversed themselves, that's on you. It's not on them. So it's strange
and
days.
Yeah, and that's what I believe is the crux of the matter of why our country is in the condition it is.
Yeah.
We accept things like that.
Absolutely. Well, I got to take a break, but Chris, it's Chris, right?
Yes, Chris.
Chris, thanks a lot, Chris. Great call. Have a good day. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. I'm going to have to find whatever I can on this ruling to try to get into the judge's brain on it. But, I mean, you know, I've been in front of the judge and been disappointed. But, you know, she's a very smart lady and a nice lady, you know. So I would be hesitant to criticize her until I or disagree with a ruling until I really found out what the arguments were and then what her her judgment was. But don't forget that any of these things that are mentioned would be fodder for an appeal. So we'll be back. It's AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. And we are going to talk a little bit about this Caitlyn Jenner. I find it so bizarre. The country is so accepting of this, but we'll talk about it. 6:28, and I just got done talking to Vanessa, who does the who's the head of the news team, and she said that she had not quoted, did not have a clip from Judge Rosner. So I think the last person who called in may have been confused. I've looked over the internet and cannot find anything. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there was no recordings of that that came out from that immediately from the hearing. So anyway, I don't know exactly why she ruled the way that she did. I guess my position is that, I don't know. It's like, I just was reading something and it said something about 25% of the signatures, 25% of the people who put in their signatures, decided that they wanted to take them back. And that was a pretty large number. But anyway, here's a little clip from, the recall event itself. Or from the city council. I'm sorry, but I got to cut in on that. That is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. It was simply, the recall was wrong. It was wrong from the beginning. And to question the wrongness of the recall is wrong itself. That's ridiculous. He sounds like a mouse. Anyway. All right, so that might be the closest we get to a quote from the judge. But anyway, it's probably Ms. Barncastle says that it's not over yet, and that's probably true. Just listening to Gil Sorg, well, justice is done. I think the right outcome came. I think it was very clear that this recall was very badly done. It was wrong from the beginning, and it was wrong all the way through. And to question whether that was not wrong was not right. That sounds like something out of Brave New World. Anyway. It almost seems to suggest the way that they put teams together to get the... what I'd like to know is it legal in general if there's a recall movement and people have been given their signatures? Is it legal? Is it in the spirit of the law for teams to go out and then basically kind of harass these people into giving up their signature? I mean, that just seems so... against the spirit of the whole thing. So that is, I guess, my feeling on that. I don't know. It is a kind of a strange way that this whole thing played out. I will just tell you this. I hate to say this, but I talked to one of the recall people. And I predicted virtually step by step how this was going to play out. And I predicted the whole thing. So anyway, here we'll take a break. 6:34. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. And I'm going to have somebody from the state GOP call in to give a little commentary. And we will be back in just a minute. Kelly O'Connell Show. Kelly here, and we have going to have a call from Debbie Maestas, who is the head of the GOP. And do we have a caller right now?
All right.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, we're going to be talking to the state GOP on their response to Hillary and her... I guess, kind of quixotic campaign. But, Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I'm bringing her on right now.
Okay. Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
Hi. Is this Debbie?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Good. Kelly O'Connell here, and we're on the air. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, very good. Very good. We're talking about a local recall. I don't know if you had heard about the recall event that was going on down here that was basically stopped by the judge because they say 25% of the people who signed the recall then bailed out. So a lot of disappointment in the conservative community down here. They were trying to get rid of some of the city councilors. But anyway, so how we're going to talk about Hillary?
Yes, we are. Hillary Clinton, she comes to Albuquerque today.
And so what it just seems like that her campaign is losing a little bit of momentum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm calling to talk about Hillary Clinton and her visit to Albuquerque. She's in Albuquerque for a closed door fundraiser, and we need to tell our side of the story. I mean, the Democrats basically have a candidate at this point, and the Republicans will have a diverse and qualified candidate running, and they offer a sharp contrast to Hillary.
All right. And so what are some of the things that you would disagree with Hillary on?
Well, I mean, she's been on the campaign trail for roughly 2 months and has answered little to no questions from reporters. So, you know, you mentioned she's declining. She's either doing a closed-door fundraiser or an event with only vetted campaign supporters. I mean, she just doesn't have trust. She's growing scandal and controversy with the Clinton Foundation, and she needs to start answering questions from reporters. She needs to tell the American people the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've seen that her numbers for trust are more people don't trust Hillary than trust her. Is that the numbers that you've seen?
Absolutely. I mean, voters know she can't be trusted. A poll yesterday showed 57% of voters do not see Hillary Clinton as honest or trustworthy, and it has been a steady decline since she launched her campaign. In addition, I know recent polling shows her numbers declining in what they call the battleground state. And again, same reason, because voters do not find Hillary Clinton honest or trustworthy.
Right. So isn't this the same thing she did last time?
Generally so. I mean, Hillary Clinton has been campaigning for years and, again, just has continued to grow with scandal and mistrust. So, you know, this is no different than 10 years ago.
And it seems to me that even people that are on the left are starting to ask that she would answer questions, for example, that she's got to answer questions, for example, on her email accounts. I don't know if she's ever planning on answering questions on Benghazi, but this idea that she owns all of her public emails is extremely strange, you know?
Absolutely. Again, it's just that's just one of many examples where she's not transparent with the American public. And she, you know, so you can't blame voters, whether Republicans or Democrats, that they don't find her honest or trustworthy. I mean, you have to be able to answer questions. If you want to be the president of the United States, you have to be able to answer questions.
I've heard some people are starting to say that Bill Clinton, who's really getting in the way right now, almost seems senile in his answering these questions, that they're making an extraordinary amount of money during this campaign process and taking some money from foreign governments, some of which oppress gays, women, are anti-capitalist, you know, are tyrannies. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, I think Bill Clinton, I mean, he's going to support Hillary, and he, again, I mean, if you look back on his history, I mean, he was surrounded by scandal. So Hillary and her scandals and Bill supporting that is going to be, it's going to be all the same. He's going to support a campaign of scandal, controversy, not being honest, not being trustworthy, and again, not what the American public needs.
Right. And Do you think people see her as shop-worn or too old, or well, I mean, what do you think the real problem is here? You think part of it is her age?
No, it's not her age. It's, again, Hillary has been campaigning for 20 years. She just is not and I can't say it enough, she's not honest, she's not transparent, she's not trustworthy, and, you know, we need better leadership than that for America. And the Republicans, I mean, I will just say, I mean, I'm proud to say that every Republican running provide a glaring contrast to her campaign of secrecy that we're seeing, that we've seen since she launched her campaign. Just last week, we had Carly Fiorina. She keynoted our event. And, I mean, she mingled with voters. She took pictures. She asked the hard questions. She answered the hard questions. And she was open to the press. Anyone asking for an interview wanted to ask her anything on any issue. And, you know, we have a pool of Republican candidates that will just do the same. So they will be a sharp contrast to what Hillary Clinton is providing for a choice in November of 2016.
And here's another issue that is also kind of troubling. You've got Bernie Sanders coming in, who's an admitted socialist. You've got, the female senator from Massachusetts, brand new senator who's part of the left. People are saying, given the way that this president has conducted business, that it's inevitable that Hillary herself is going to be driven to be a far left candidate and, a politician. What do you think? Is that a worry for the GOP?
No worry at all. No worry at all. The Democrats at this point, again, basically have one candidate. It's Hillary Clinton. Her issues and the things that people need to know and the American people need to see is that she is not honest and she is not trustworthy and she would not be a good choice for America.
All right. So any guesses on who might be the Republican candidate?
You know, we're going to have a lot of great candidates, and it's going to give the American public a lot of great choices.
Hey, so you're going to be a little agnostic on that one?
Absolutely so. I'm just proud to say that every Republican running will be a good contrast to Hillary and bring a lot of qualified experience to the field.
Well, I appreciate the call, Debbie. Debbie Maestas, who's head of the GOP in the state now. Anything else?
To be on the show, I appreciate it. You know, Republicans have a great opportunity in 2016. I would just leave with that. We have a great opportunity in 2016, and we're encouraged about what lies ahead. And also for those, you know, check out our website, gopnm.org, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and for all our GOP up-to-date information.
Well, appreciate the call, Debbie, and keep up the good work, and we'll catch you again on get some more opinions from you, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Head of the GOP in the state, and it's AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and I've got some headlines for you. We'll be right back. Kelly and we were talking about the recall and had a little break with the head of the GOP who's opposed to Hillary. What do you think of Hillary's chances? It seems to me she's been running for president forever, and the idea that she's going to go around and not answer any questions but totally control every meeting that she's in, every single not going to respond to reporters seems like a complete fantasy. We do have another call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Bob.
Hey, Bob. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, a recall is a new vote.
All right.
And that'll answer the guy's question that he was talking about before. I don't know anything about the judge or none of that. I didn't hear any of that, so I don't know. But a recall is to again and see what comes out of it.
A recall is a new vote. I agree with that. Now, are you saying it's a new vote, therefore it's wrong?
No, I'm just saying that's the definition of recall. It's a brand new vote.
Oh, okay. So were you in support of the recall or opposed to it?
Well, I'm not sure what the recall was about. Did the three people vote against the minimum wage or vote for the minimum wage?
Well, they said that there was some skullduggery. There was a little bit of they were playing this vote in a way where they were supporting the increase in the minimum wage, and then they went against it and stuff. And I think it's more than the minimum wage. I think it is the sense. I've talked to the recallers, I had them on the show, they said that these people are far to the left and they're keeping the city from growing, for example. They played the vote out politically knowing that it would go ahead anyway, that they would get the increase. So I think Nathan Small took a little bit of a risk and he started talking to constituents and stuff, trying to find out what the people wanted. But the claim was that these three people are very, very far to the left, maybe kind of socialist or whatever. That was what the recallers were claiming.
What gets me is why government sets the wages, pay. I don't get that at all. Looks like the businessman knows what the people are worth, not the government.
Yeah, I mean, it's the market will set its own level. There are people out there who think that business people would pay their workers 25 cents an hour if they could get away with it. But I mean, there is a competition for competent workers, you know.
True, that's very true.
All right, Bob, I'm running out of time here, but thanks for the call. And a new vote is a recall. I agree. Have a good day. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me if there is a percentage of the people that are dissatisfied with the leadership, then they've got every right to have their vote. And this ruling keeps the vote from happening. Now, it would have been interesting if the vote had occurred and then the people still stayed in there. But we were talking about some of these people. I mean, think for the most part, a small number of individuals supporting, voting on these races to begin with. All right, a few headlines for you. The United States plan to give control of the internet is on track. Give control of the internet over to a universal or a world body. What do you think about that? I think it's crazy. We don't know how many Americans are out there, because we're not tracking who is and isn't a citizen. Now, is that by accident or is it part of some plot? People are going to want to know that. Military exercise in urban training setting in Michigan startled residents. Explosions, the same type that were to be expected in a war zone. One of the explosions filled the whole sky, makes you think of Jade. I don't know if this is part of the Jade exercise, but they apparently were not shared with the rest of the population. Apparently it was a surprise. A backlash against Bruce Jenner on becoming the most shameless Kardashian of all. And there is evidence that the NSA probe destroyed the people that were being investigated for the NSA or that situation. There was evidence destroyed. So, and well, we'll take you out here. It is 6:58 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. And I got some phenomenal topics. We're going to get into this Bruce Jenner amongst some other things. And I've got a clip of the president saying that he is not a divisive person whatsoever. We'll be right back. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell. Good morning. It's 7:06, and we've got a story here that involves Bruce Jenner that you've undoubtedly heard of, which has to do with his, it basically, you know, you've definitely heard of it. Bruce Jenner is getting a sex change. And I was looking around and trying to find out if he had had a sex change yet. And I think that he has not, surrendered the crown jewels yet, so to speak. So, it is extraordinary. I mean, it is an extraordinary situation. But according to Hollywood Life, as of last night, he has not had his little snip and tuck there. But I think that he's, according to an article by Dr. Paul McHugh, which I had talked about before on this issue, the people who, there's a couple of misconceptions we should get out of the way. Number one, this is not believe it or not, is not an issue of homosexuality. The individuals who get sex changes say that they're trapped in the wrong body. So being homosexual means that you're staying in the same body, right? So another part of that also is that according to Paul McHugh, who was the head of the sex reassignment, the very first sex reassignment clinic in the world in John Hopkins University in, I think it's in Baltimore. It's in Baltimore. Anyway, that he did a study, did a follow-up study, and he was not the person who I don't think he opened the program, but he came in and he ran it. And basically he said that he looked at the kind of people who got sex changes, and they're kind of an interesting mix. Number one were men who he said would see themselves as lesbians, who got a real kick out of dressing in women's clothing, but were still attracted to women. Isn't that fascinating? That's maybe the largest group of these people. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call at the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom. I heard he was going to start dating Shaquille O'Neal once he got his sex change.
That's why not start at the top, right?
Really? He's going to climb the highest tree. Oh. Anyway, I heard the Synagogue of Satan down there in on Motel Boulevard, they're funneling money down to Mexico.
This the county?
Yeah.
I wonder what they're doing with it down there.
I don't know. It's interesting. We should delve further into that, Kelly.
I will. Let me get into that. Let me do this, a little bit of this Bruce Jenner thing, and then I'll go back into that. There's a little bit in the paper, but I think there's a lot more of the story that's going to come out.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good day. All right, folks. Here's a little bit. Okay, so Paul McHugh, and I found this article. I can't remember. I kind of stumbled across it. I was trying to get some information on gay marriage, and I think this came up. And it was kind of fascinating. One of the biggest groups, if not the biggest group, of these people are men who don't see themselves as gay. Isn't that weird? That they see themselves as lesbians. They like to dress in women's clothing. They find it to be enchanting or exciting, what have you. And they get the sex change, and they believe that they'll be involved with more women, or they'll be involved with women as a woman. Another group was men who were basically homosexual but very guilt-ridden, and so they couldn't be involved with other men, but if they got a sex change, they thought that they could. So anyway, let me play you a little clip here. Here is got one here from, I've got a clip on from this on Fox, and I may have to shut one of these windows down, but I do have a little bit from Fox, and there's also this interview that Bruce Caitlin had now, and I wonder, I mean, I know that he sees himself as a woman, but I wonder if he's, because there was a story of him dressing in his mother's outfits when he was a kid. This one is just a little snippet from Fox. I don't know. I just I find this whole thing to be so strange. This guy was kind of this would be like Joe Montana getting a sex change, you know? Because this guy was considered to be the top athlete in the world when he was in the decathlon, and he not only won the gold medal, but he broke the world record. It's just so weird to see him dressed up as a woman. And to see that he's going through it. Now, the picture of him on the front of a Vanity Fair, unless it's been photoshopped, shows what looks to be breast implants. Now, do you accept the idea that somebody can change their gender and get a so-called sex change? And, you know, what about all the different surgeries that these guys have to have? They have to get hair removed. They get their nose job. A lot of times they'll get their Adam's apple shaved, as Bruce Jenner did recently before this, when he was claiming that he was not going to go ahead and do this. So it is a lot of outrage. When I was listening to the other talk show hosts, a lot of outrage on this. And do you feel outraged? I guess the argument would be that society is falling apart to such a level that not only do we not oppose this, but we actually celebrate it. This guy's finally being himself. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had a chance to do anything in his life, you know? And, you know, the question also is, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians and, you know, 70% or so. What's the Christian position on this? It would seem to me the Bible says, you know, in the beginning I created man and woman, and that would be it. But these people claim they're born in the wrong body. All right, so it is 63 degrees right now. It's going to be a high today of 97 and a low of 63. Come back and talk a little bit more about Bruce Jenner. 523-1450 to call in. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. All right, folks, 7:19, and just a few little clips here for you from this Bruce Jenner story. Let me just tell you one thing, though. Let me cut to the chase on this in case you are not able to hear the whole thing. The study that Paul McHugh did, which they were not able to find some people that had sex changes, but they've found that there was an initial euphoria, and then as reality set in, more than 40% of these people are going to attempt suicide. Another 10% or more will either not accept their new sex, not live as their new sex, or will totally reject it. And so we're talking a failure rate of over 50%. So before you get stars in your eyes over this, of course, stars in your eyes, think about that. Very good research from Dr. Paul McHugh. Now, here's a little bit on Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Genital. All right, so check that one out. And now here's from the White House. The president didn't even support gay marriage his first campaign, and now he is he's going the full Monty on this one. Here's from a press conference. worthy of our respect. What does this president stand for, by the way? I mean, would there be any? I guess he takes controversial stands, but the controversial stands that he takes are always to the left. So, although, do you think that being in favor of government spying is to the left or to the right? Personally, I find that to be a hallmark of a tyranny. The government feels like it can get into any information of any citizen, and therefore it can do anything it wants. That's not true conservativism. We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing? Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. What's up?
I'm commenting on the Bruce Jenner transition. Found time to do all that, but he didn't find time to call Chris Kyle's wife and give him his sympathy either.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff is this, you know?
Well, the president says he's a uniter, not a divider, so I don't know if that fits in, but.
Yeah, certainly, you know, when you hear that kind of stuff, and you know Chris Kyle's wife sat there and didn't get a phone call from anybody, you know, especially in their support and, you know, the fact that her husband was Greek, American hero, we call somebody's family on this, just, boy.
Well, I agree. I agree. Okay, Jim, thank you for the call. Have a good day. All right. So here is former John Hopkins head psychiatrist, transgender surgery isn't the solution. All right. So here is, because I'm well familiar with this article from having read it the first time. But most of the... One of the things I find kind of fascinating is they didn't track these people after they had this surgery. And it kind of reminds me of the gay adoption issue. We don't know how this is going to affect kids. In theory, it could be a superb type of, parenting, but where's the evidence? And so we do have a lot of smaller studies. I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of kids that have been put in that position. We have a lot of smaller studies that are saying that gay parenting is better than straight parenting, but where's the science before the transition, you know? And so they jumped into the sex change thing, which actually Obamacare has purported to pay for without doing, and I don't know how you would do it, but I mean, the scientists are famous for coming up with clever ways for testing their theories. Why didn't they do some testing on the issues that Paul McHugh came up with? He says that in 1974, they launched a study. Oh, pardon me. That John Hopkins launched a study in the 1970s comparing the outcomes of transgender people who had the surgery with the outcomes of those who did not. Most of the surgically treated patients described themselves as, quote, satisfied by the results, but their subsequent psychosocial adjustments were no better than those who did not have the surgery. And thus, said Dr. Paul McHugh, we stopped doing sex reassignment surgery since producing a satisfied but still troubled patient seemed to be an inadequate reason for surgically amputating normal organs. And he had originally done this article in the First Things. First Things is, if I'm not mistaken, a Catholic magazine, which is where I found it in the Wall Street Journal and then went to the original article. And so there was a few more interesting things that these men who wanted to be women had absolutely no interest in motherhood, which is one of the chief characteristics of being a female, right? I mean, most females are kind of fond of children and are dying to have their own children at some point. Now, if these are really women and therefore mothers trapped in the wrong body, why don't they get fixated on being a mom when they transition? the way that Dr. Paul McHugh talked about it, they were they seem more like they came across as trannies as opposed to real women. Now here's a little quote from this First Things article. The subjects before the surgery struck me as even more strange, as they struggled to convince anyone who might influence the decision for their surgery. First, they spent an unusual amount of time thinking and talking about sex and their sexual experience. Their sexual hungers and adventures seemed to preoccupy them. Second, discussion of babies or children provoked little interest from them. Indeed, they seemed indifferent to children. But third and most remarkable, many of these men who claimed to be women reported they found women sexually attractive and that they saw themselves as lesbians. When I noted to their champions or their defenders that their psychological leanings seemed more like those of men than of women, I would get various replies, mostly to the effect that in making such judgments, I was drawing on sexual stereotypes. So, you know, I guess, how do I think about this? There's a libertarian approach that says let people do what they want to themselves as long as they don't do any harm. That's going to be a strong opinion out there that will be on the left and the right. But there's going to be a large number of Christians or religious conservatives who believe that people are born into the gender that they're supposed to be, and to allow surgery to change that would be a terrible misuse of medicine. And you think about all the people in the world who need care, and this seems like a very self-centered thing, doesn't it? Although that you could say, well, they have the money so that they can go ahead and do it. We've got another phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Kelly, did Bruce have that surgery already?
I was looking last night, and it said no on some Hollywood site. There is, believe it or not, is a large number of men who have had surgery to look like women from the waist up, but they don't have it from the waist down because it changes their ability to have and enjoy sex.
Yeah, because I think didn't he say that he's not a lesbian? I mean, he wouldn't be considered a lesbian. He wouldn't date any gay men. That's what he said.
He wants right? a straight man?
Huh?
He wants a straight man?
No, he wants a... He still likes women.
Oh, he is a lesbian then?
I guess. I don't know, but I think he went from that Wheaties box to Fruit Loops.
That's a good point, Mike. And you've got the radio train way up. Thanks for the call. Folks, if you call into the show... if you call in, turn your radio down. I know it's kind of fun to be on the radio, but anyway, he went from Wheaties to Fruit Loops. Well done, Mike. Bruce Jenner, like I said, he is still into women. All right, so what happens? What they have found is that, well, I'll tell you when we get back because it's kind of interesting that I picked up from these articles. I guess kind of had already heard about the Bruce Jenner thing, so. It's 7:32. It's a little bit over 60. It's going to be very hot today, 97, and down in the 60s tonight, low 60s. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, the number to call in. We'll be back with more on Brucey. Caitlin. All right, Kelly here. 7:36, and there was one other thing I wanted to tell you about the sex change thing, because, you know, these are confusing days for kids, I think, because that you're a kid, you're raised now with the idea that there's such a thing as, you know, there, in addition to homosexuality, there's now gay marriage. And now there are sex changes that are totally efficient, and it makes gender seem like a superficial thing, or it's, you know, something that could be screwed up. Paul McHugh in his article in First Things said that to test the theory that people were born in the wrong body because of the fact that after they get the surgery, there are still profound psychological problems, depression and other things that these people have that are not affected or cured by these operations. So to test that, they went and did a study on children who had had genital mutilation as a child. And so, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it was from a botched circumcision, or maybe it was from being born deformed or whatever. A certain percentage of boys are born with incomplete or missing genitalia. And so for a while, I don't know if they still do it, but they were taking these little boys and turning them into girls. Now, there was the story of this kid that this happened to, that his entire life he thought he was a boy. And some days he would play with dolls, but other days he would throw them down, no matter what his parents told him. And finally, he was 16 or 17, he said, I just don't feel like my life doesn't feel right. And they said, well, you know, there was the surgery, and so this kid got angry, and he started dressing as a man, and he went out and got married, and then he ended up committing suicide. So profound damage to this kid, but he never thought he was a woman. So they did a study of these kids, and basically all of these kids that they changed the gender on had thought that they were the opposite gender. So the gender is deeply stamped on people and cannot be changed. You can't have the wrong gender. Than your exterior genitalia, unless, you know, there's some sort of a truly profound birth defect, like what they call intersex. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, I was asking for a Christian response on this, and, well, nobody really called in with it. Here is a little bit. Check this one out. That's one pastor's reaction. Here's another one. Well, actually, we've got a call, so let me take this call before we get into this next one. Thanks for the call to Kelly. Oops. All right, here we go. Thanks for the call to Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. I forgot to ask you.
Mike, could you do me a favor and keep your radio down?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was starting to ring into the radio. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, Bruce belongs to this golf club in Southern California, I guess. And they have a policy about not a lot of women.
Okay.
And he had to pay an initial membership fee of like $200,000 or something.
Mike, is there a reason that you can't take the dogs away from the phone? We've never gotten to the bottom of this.
I just contained one of them.
Well, can you contain him next time before the phone call so we can hear you?
I try, Kelly. I do, honestly. I try.
The dogs are calling the shots. Okay. So he belongs to a female-free golf club, and now what happens?
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
If this is the ultimate I lost my ball story.
A 1-1.
Will he get a mulligan? All right, Mike. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right. Let's check out this pastor's take on this. All right, you can imagine how the prayer goes, but so what do you think about that, the ultimate satanic attack? Now, the interesting thing, besides whatever golf club he belongs to, that I find about this guy is he describes himself as a conservative Christian, and I don't know if they've gotten into that at all, but I just find this very, very interesting. All right. 7:44, it's about 63 degrees out there. It's going to be around 97 and tonight down in the 60s again. I understand I missed out on a lot of good rain when I was gone on my trip, so I regret that because I love the rain around here. All right, so we'll come back, and let's get into a little bit of the Hastert story because I think it's interesting as well, and it's another sex scandal. All right, just briefly on this Denny Hastert story. Denny Hastert was a high school teacher. He was a wrestling coach, apparently a pretty good one. in Illinois. He got elected to be the House representative in the U.S. House in Illinois. And then he was very quickly moved into the speaker's position, and this is after Newt Gingrich left. Now, some people are saying now, just briefly, that he was compromised to begin with, that they already had dirt on him. Now, in 2006, a story came out saying that he was gay and that he was, as a matter of fact, the effeminate partner, and that was dismissed. But he got out of... the House. There was also a scandal involving land, which was then supposed to be near a highway that he had voted on. And although that was canceled, he sold it before and made a lot of money. Now he's been a lobbyist, made tons of money, and he tried to give a kid $3.5 million to hush up the scandal. Now, here's the question I have for you. Number one, did they put him into office because he was compromised and they could control him? They knew about the sex stories because they supposedly the rumors were around for a long time, number one. And number two, this is a story that predates his time in this in the House. And then the question is, should they go after him for this relationship with this kid that sounds, although I don't know, it sounds like it was consensual, although we generally look at these things and say there's no such thing as a consensual relationship between adult and someone underage. And is that what they should have gone after? Because they've gone after him for lying to the FBI, basically. So it's kind of a strange story. Now, a little bit on this is from Obama saying, I'm not divisive. What do you think of this? Check it out. Now, does that sound even remotely likely? Because basically his whole training before he got into the Senate, he was a community organizer before he got in. He was a community organizer after he got out of law school, before and after. He's deeply devoted to it. As a matter of fact, he says he wants to return to that work. Obviously, it's dear to his heart, but by definition, those people divide. Now, here's a clip from 2012, and he and his wife getting interviewed before the last election. All right, so, I mean, I've always asked myself, what does Obama stand for? What does he stand for? What is, well, you know... I was thinking last night, is he a completely open and honest person? I mean, he made these fibs about Obamacare. But on the other hand, he said from the very beginning, we are going to radically change America. And he's done it, right? He's been right out in front. So what does he stand for? I mean, if you had to be a political scientist and study what his decisions seem to stand for, it seems like he's kind of a socialist, right? I mean... that wouldn't be a shock. What does he stand for? What does he hope? What is in his deep in his heart, what does he hope for America? We'll come back and talk about that in just a second. It is 7:52. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Be right back. 7:54 here, 63 degrees out there, going to 65 pretty soon. Yeah, I was sad to miss out on the rain. And the funny thing is I went up to Oregon and there was no rain. And the only thing I ever remembered about Oregon was rain. But, you know, there's these giant rivers up there. The Columbia River is giant. And Mackenzie River, all these places up there are pretty... pretty impressive, to be honest. All right, so we have kind of dealt with the recall and whether the judge had said that the best way or the way to do recall is at the next election, which I remain skeptical about until I can find some corroboration. But I do think that there is an inherent right to recall people. Bruce Jenner, satanic, devilish behavior? What do you think? Or just kind of a lost soul that we should just support and just kind of, you know, have a little bit of sympathy for. But what about the kids? What about kids that are growing up now? These kids, I mean, if you're growing up, how do you understand what it means to be a man if the greatest athlete of his generation from your parents' time has just become a woman? All right, so here are some, let's see if I have enough time to do this here. Here are six unsolved problems in astronomy. Why is the surface temperature of the sun not as hot as the corona, the aura of plasma that surrounds the sun? The surface temperature is 5,800 Kelvin, but the aura of plasma is 4 million Kelvin. That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I some of these I won't even understand the question, let alone the answer. But what explains the Kuiper Cliff? Just beyond the planets of our solar system lies the Kuiper Belt, a ring region of space that includes many metallic and rocky objects, cometary constituents like water, methane, ammonia, ice, as well as everybody's favorite dwarf planet, Pluto. So for some reason, it ends 50 astronomical units from the sun, but we don't know why. Seems like it would get sucked into the sun to me, but all right. So, well, anyway, I don't really have enough time to get into all these, but let's do a show on get into a little bit of science. All of this politics kind of makes my head spin. Who is going to be the nominee for the Democrats? How could it possibly be anybody other than Hillary? It just seems to me like it would be, how would they have any momentum? Who's going to be the nominee, and who's going to be the vice president? Could it be Malloy, who is a very attractive candidate, and if she's too old, he could take over? On the alternative, who is going to be the front runner, or who's going to be the nominee for the Republicans? Is it a shoo-in that it's going to be a Bush-Clinton affair, another one? By the way, you can get this show on Blog Talk Radio. Just look up Blog Talk Radio. And